When Indigenous people are finding their own voice, and as well, the larger society is looking to Indigenous communities for a healing word and wisdom. And that's part of the reason for this conference, is to empower Indigenous voices and give a reasonable critique to the greater society from the Indigenous perspective. So thank you all for coming. I want to thank our sponsors for this conference. I suppose I should introduce myself, huh? I haven't done that. I always just assume people know me. That's really narcissistic. Yes. Yeah. Yes. No, I learned from my pastor, so. Can I tell you one thing I learned from my pastor? Is you have keynote speakers and you have featured speakers, which are the same thing. But Pastor Jin taught me it is in no way redundant to call yourself a featured keynote speaker. And it sounds more important. And that's where my healthy dose of narcissism comes from. But my name is Jim Bear Jacobs. I'm a parish associate here at Church of All Nations. I've been serving here for a year and a half or so. And I'm also the founder of Healing Minnesota Stories, which is a group of volunteers whose purpose is to bring the Indigenous voice into areas, particularly faith communities, where the Indigenous voice has been silenced and marginalized for many years. So this conference is a partnership with the St. Paul Interfaith Network, Healing Minnesota Stories. Our sponsors include United Theological Seminary and the Kaleo Center Calling Forth Justice. So thank you to all of our sponsors for helping put this on. And right now I want to call to the microphone our pastor, senior pastor here at Church of All Nations, Pastor Jin S. Kim.
Hi, everyone. I'm used to speaking from up here, so I'll do that. As the opening main featured keynote speaker, I'd like to give glory to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. All glory, praise, and honor to that, you know. Okay, welcome, welcome. This is our 10th year as Church of All Nations. Little background about what we're doing here and why we're meeting here. Our church started almost 11 years ago with a question, if we believe in God of the whole universe and in God coming as a human being in the person of Jesus 2,000 years ago, who offered salvation and wholeness and unity to all creation, then why does the church reflect our human bias and prejudice rather than the sovereignty of God's creation? So those questions led many of us to have kind of a crisis of integrity, a crisis of faith, and we said, well, maybe we should just launch a church that right from the beginning names that absurdity, brokenness, and sinfulness for what it is, and see if we can actually embody something differently, not just preach something differently, but embody it. So a bunch of Korean Americans helped launch Church of All Nations. For at least the first year, we were really, to be frank, a church of one nation. but we once saw a movie that said, if you build it, they will come. And eventually, people started to come until over time, we've had people, we have people now from over 25 different nationalities and different kinds of cultural and linguistic backgrounds. So diversity is one of the things that make us who we are. And like good food, the more diverse the ingredients, the more exciting and intriguing and interesting it is. So I don't think I could ever return to the kind of monocultural religious context that I came from as a Korean immigrant after having experienced this kind of wonderful diversity of God in our midst. Over the years, we've been trying to figure out how we can be Christian, more faithfully Christian year after year. But that means we have to understand what prevents us from being Christian. So uncovering the truth, speaking the truth. This is what it says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. Speaking the truth in love is the path to maturity. But it's both, right? One can speak the truth, and if it's not in love, it can be very hurtful. And anyone who's been married, for instance, knows that if you speak the truth not in love, it can backfire pretty bad. But if we love without speaking the truth, that's just another way of indulging in cheap sentimentality. Only speaking the truth in love, only in that do we really enter deeply into solidarity and honesty and maturity. That is what we try to do in our own imperfect and feeble way here at Church Four Nations, is speak the truth in love so that we might all encourage each other to mature in our Lord and Savior. 4 years ago, we launched our first conference. We got a grant from somewhere and thought it would be a neat thing to do. And this is our fourth year hosting a conference. And this is a pretty big theme this year. It's on the doctrine of discovery. And we're so glad for all of you who are here. And we'll see that in Sheldon Wolfchild's film tonight about where that came from. It was a pretty clever doctrine that basically said, if a bunch of Europeans discover land in the name of the domain of Christ, which is what Christendom is, then it becomes basically an extension of European Christendom. And then all kinds of laws and property rights are based on that. We take location seriously. If you look around, you'll see flags from all over the world. It matters to us who our members are and where they come from. It's not enough to just to know someone's name, but we need to know where they come from. And even among our many white members at Church Four Nations, you'll hear conversation, you know, what are your European roots? And our ethnography is very important because we all know that at some point we came from some land and were raised in some real cultural context. And so as we talk about context and land, then we ask some really strange questions like, well, where did this land come from? Right? This building was bought from the city of Columbia Heights when the hunting grounds kind of gave way to farmland, and then farmland gave way to suburban development. So now Church Four Nations has the title and deed to this property, this beautiful property overlooking Silver Lake right there. So this is our land, right? This is Church Four Nations property. Since it's Church Four Nations property, then it's part of Christ's domain, Christendom. But the thing is, the way that this church and this property became part of Christendom is by European American settlers moving westward and creating one outrageously exploitative treaty after another, and then breaking those even. That's the funny thing about our history of treaties. They were crazy, lopsided, exploitative, conniving, outright false treaties, and then even what little benefit there was in those treaties were violated for endless gain. So all of Minnesota was once Dakota land and Ho-Chunk land. And through genocide, theft, exile, torture, every kind of inhumanity, it was stolen. So for us to have title and deed to this land without recognizing that it was done so at the price of humanity, is then to do false theology, right? How do we talk about God if we don't recognize that the place out of which we talk about God is due to all of this exploitation of indigenous people here, right? So we're trying to speak truth in this sanctuary. The sanctuary is above the basement, and the basement is on top of land, and all this land was basically stolen from Native people by hook and by crook. So if we're going to speak the truth in love, love to God and love to neighbor, we have to recognize that all truth must recognize the truth of this place. Otherwise, what truthful infrastructure are we building on quicksand like that? I think every part of Minnesota that is going to say anything about God and to talk about God is theology, right? Theologos, talking about God. Any God talk is going to have to begin with genocide and the theft of land that we have done, perpetrated, and still live with today. So I'm filled with deep regret that we are hosting a conference on the doctrine of discovery. I sincerely apologize to our Native sisters and brothers, especially for the audacity to even call ourselves hosts, when really it's the Dakota people, especially in this part of Minnesota, who have always been hosts, at least for thousands of years. And so we are guests, really. So please understand that when we say we're hosting this conference, that it is a kind of a momentary, incidental kind of hosting in the period of unfortunate history that we exist in today. But we are deeply grateful and indebted for the stewardship of our indigenous sisters and brothers over many centuries. And we've wiped out a lot of the natural beauty, but not everything. And hopefully it's our Native sisters and brothers who will lead us back to restoring beauty, nature, and humanity back to this land. It's exploring indigeneity as the key pathway to recovering our humanity that we are trying to explore here through this conference. And through the thoughts, the prayers, the reflections, and the conversation that we hope to have with one another here. So much bloodshed, so much rape, murder, and exploitation have happened in the name of Christ. But when we look at Jesus in the Gospels, he did none of that. He told his followers to put away the sword. He said, when one strikes your cheek, turn the other. If one asks for a shirt, give them your cloak. In other words, don't exploit back, but yield to the exploitation. When they try to kill you, go willingly to the cross. What Jesus did was Jesus renounced violence and revenge and competition and willingly died to all of that as an example for us. It is better for us to die to exploitation than to try to reverse it on our foes. This fundamental lesson of Jesus our Lord, this fundamental lesson just never seems to have clicked with the church, at least since Constantine took it over. Since the imperialization of the church, it has been violence and coercion through which the church has propagated itself. We are asking the question here at Church Phonations, and many other communities are asking that question. What does it mean for the church to actually model itself on the life character, teachings, and witness of Jesus Christ. Do you think that's a novel idea? What if the church of Jesus Christ attempted to follow Jesus Christ? What would the church look like that actually tried to follow Jesus Christ? That just blows my mind because it's so obvious. I'm sorry for being that pedantic, but it's actually that radical. If by their fruits you shall know them. The fruit of the church since Constantine has been nothing but a global Holocaust, especially to indigenous peoples all over the world. So this is why I cannot renounce my Christian faith. Because I am complicit in all of that injustice, and I also have benefited from all of that injustice. So it'd be really, really convenient now for me to say, oh my gosh, the church is so horrible, I'll just leave all that and be pure and innocent by myself. But no, I've had too much benefit from being part of the church, so now I'm going to have to be part of the cleanup crew. I will remain a penitent Christian for the rest of my life so that I can take responsibility personally for what we have done as a church, so that there is a face, a person behind the confession and the repentance, the deep human sorrow that is one way of being humane with one another. So please don't see my insistence on hanging on to the Christian faith as some kind of imperial obstinacy, but as my own humble attempt to embody the kind of repentance that I believe is the only path forward if we're going to have any shot at restoring this earth back to the harmony and balance that there once was before human beings attempted empire and its deadly ways. Thank you all so much for being here. We hope that the next couple of days will be an open, tough, but joyful environment out of which we can have these real conversations with one another. Thank you all.